Are you enough? How do you know if you're enough? Can you ever be enough? Are you good enough? Are you enough? Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Crystal Crawford Show. I'm Crystal Crawford, and I invite you to a deep exploration of the tools of access consciousness and a totally different way of being.
This is going to be a big conversation about something that I don't think I've really talked about enough, because I have never in my life thought that I dealt with this thing of feeling like I wasn't enough or feeling like I had to prove that I was enough. And yesterday I had this huge epiphany. And so I want to get into today that thing of like feeling like you're not enough, trying to prove that you're enough, always feeling like you're running from behind, trying to be good enough. Which I actually think is what a lot of us are doing. Thank you so much for those of you guys that told me about the sound in the last video. I will talk about that. The sound is a thing. So let's get into it. I want to read to you something from the reference materials, which is a big tome of work, Access Consciousness style. That's all the archived material from over the years. And I went, of course, like I do, I went into this material looking for something that would speak to this thing that I got an awareness of yesterday. Here it is. It starts out with this: please know that judgment is the ultimate killer. All right, your triggers aren't the killer. Your feelings aren't the killer. All these things that we can tend to be unraveled by, they're not the killer. Judgment is the actual killer. And the reason it's a killer is that as soon as you have a judgment about anything, and a judgment can be good, bad, or ugly, you literally can't see anything that doesn't match your judgment. So if your judgment is that you're never going to be enough, that no matter what you do, no, sorry, let me read this again. If your judgment is that you're never going to be enough, then no matter what you do, you will never see the greatness of you. Let me tell you the story of what happened. So a lot of you guys know that in the last 6 or 7 months since I moved us back to North America, and in particular, well, to North America, that I've been really kind of pulling my life apart, right? I've been pulling the business apart. I've been looking at my life choices. I've been just changing and throwing everything up in the air for whatever. Whatever's going to happen is fine. We then also added to our life moving to Canada. So not only did we come to North America, we were in the States for 6 to 8 months. We moved to Canada. And that's been even more different. And the reason I tell you that I've been pulling everything apart and kind of looking at all of it and choosing again and reforming everything is because what I've been looking for is a feeling. Now, I don't know if I've been this clear on it until now, but it all came out yesterday. So we are currently moved back to London, Ontario, where Andres and I started. This is where we met. I was Canadian for a long time, left, came back for a month, met Andres, thought I was never coming back, decided I want to be with him, and we were here, and 5 months into our relationship, COVID hit. So that all happened in London, Ontario. During that time, I was doing business boomed. My business went up by probably a factor of 100%. I also started getting caught up on my taxes. So I started looking at tax possibilities. The vaccine mandates were coming down. We had a big convergence of things, and we chose to move to Latin America. Now, to do that, we had to take our life apart here in London, Ontario. I had just furnished our whole house. We had to sell a bunch of stuff. We gave everything away. We had this beautiful home, and we dismantled it. And with the awareness that our life would be greater in 5 years, although I didn't ask, would it be easy, and the understanding that we were committed to doing things that didn't necessarily make sense to anybody else, but definitely were going to be greater for us. So then we had the experience, right? You think you know what something is until you choose it and you get into it. And for me, and then as it turns out for him, what that choice created was the exposure of a big bedrock hotbed of reaction, of insecurity for me, what turned into jealousy. Like it got really nasty really fast over some things that in my world were up to that point unacceptable. My mom used to actually use that word all the time. This is unacceptable, you know? So I was raised in a culture of very, very rigid rights and wrongs, very, very religious. And although a lot of that has changed over the years, you know, when you're steeped in a soup for a big, long period of time and you're already a humanoid and you already want to get it right, inevitably that stuff's going to come up. So it came up for 2 years in a really, let's just generalize and say ugly way, okay? But what that created for the both of us were all these injuries to each other. And so we're still choosing, because we're aware of something, and also we really adore each other. And so here we are, back where we started, and yesterday one of those triggers came up again for me. Now, I've been seeking, like, what is it that I can choose to restore, to have, to be joyful again, right? I've been looking for the fun, for the joy. What is that for me now? And, you know, I got all kinds of things going on. My body's changing. We're moving all over God's green earth. We got stuff and things. And so yesterday, this thing comes up. But here's something that's really cool. I want to tell you this. And this is testament to the Access Consciousness tools. Like, they're so powerful. In the middle of my storm yesterday, I still was aware, and this is different, by the way. I used to just go storming, and like for 48 hours, all I could see was red. So deep into reaction. But yesterday, I'm in the middle of it, and I can see through it. Like, it's kind of a screen door, right? It's not an ocean between me and peace and calm. It's like, okay, I can see the other side. And I'm sitting in the middle of it going, something else is possible here. Like, what else is possible here that I haven't considered? So we probably stormed and talked and conversed, you know, for like 4 to 6 hours-ish on and off, you know, in and out of different rooms. And for the first time, I really started to let myself say and ask some of the things that I just had never said and asked before. It was stuff that I had just kind of kept inside and reacted to and assumed and tried to find proof of, and really vulnerable stuff. Like, are you even attracted to me? Which is, if I actually like gave you some backstory, would be crazy town, because there's all kinds of proof that exists. But I had some really big, vulnerable questions about me. And I could tell that in exposing them to him, that I was definitely exposing my soft underbelly, my underdeveloped belly, the part of me that I had tried to pretend wasn't there. But I was so determined yesterday to get to what was going on, even if it meant that I had to look foolish. And so I kept going, and I kept, like, you know, asking these hard questions that weren't exactly fair because I things. And then all of a sudden I'm like continuing to go, because I knew I hadn't really gotten to the energy that was like right underneath fueling everything else. Do you guys ever get there where you're like, I can't, like, this isn't it, and this isn't it, and this, and I'm like, there's still something there that I can perceive, that I can see, but I don't know what it is. And I'm talking it through, and what pops out of my mouth is, I'm just trying to be good enough for you. I want all of you to know who are listening that that has nothing to do with Andres. Because he's trying to do the same thing for me, number one. I heard myself say that. And of course, in that moment, as I'm like getting it all out and the energy's moving and I'm like tears streaming down my face, I was like, oh my gosh, little me, who's been trying to do this for a really long time. I don't know how many of my past shows you guys have watched, but I've done this for a long time. And I used to talk a lot about my mom. And she's just a totally different kind of person, and was, a few people have met her, and Maxwell's met her. Anyway, she's got a lot going on. One of her weapons to try to get us kids, or me, to do what she wanted me to do was to tell me that she didn't feel loved by that. I don't feel loved. Now, you could have put into that scenario anything. She wouldn't feel loved by, you know, the way that I said something, the way that I didn't do something. And so I really vividly remember thinking about how I could make her feel loved. Because the one thing that I wanted to do more than anything was for her to feel how much I loved her. Like, she was my person. She was my best friend. She was the only person I actually really cared anything about, the one that I wanted to be around. And this is probably this very conscious in my 13, 14 year old brain. And I remember vividly thinking about it. And at the time, right, I didn't have any other tools. You probably didn't have any other tools if you got stuck somewhere like that. I didn't know people used that kind of things as a weapon. And so I was manipulated by it. I was definitely controlled by it. And I could see yesterday when this popped out of my mind, just be good enough for you. And this had to, I was like, well, the reason I do this and this is because I'm just trying to be good enough. I work out so I can be good enough. All the business things I do so I can be good enough. I'm sure there's more there than just that. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to write better so I can be good enough. So, because the flip side of that is, if I'm good enough, then you'll love me. If I'm good enough, then you'll respond to me in the way that I want you to. If I'm good enough, then the business will work. If I'm good enough, then, man, you could fill in the blank with so many things. Oh. And that's got a lot of daggers to it. You know, if you, number one, if you need to be good enough, you also need people to prove to you that you're good enough, which puts them in an awkward position because there's no receiving in that. So I not only need to be good enough when I already am, and I'm going to get into that part, but then I need you to validate that I'm good enough repeatedly because I don't believe you, and then I'm not going to receive you, so I'm going to need you to keep doing it, and then I'm going to get angry at you when you seem to do things that prove that I'm not good enough. And man, it just like goes into this whole perverted, converted trap with anybody that you're in a relationship with. And it was literally like after hours of just kind of bashing this around, you know, leaving the room and coming back in and just staying with it, and that popping out of my mouth, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't believe I'm good enough. I have to prove that I'm good enough. How much has this been running my life? A lot. And I literally, at that moment, I think I sat there for 2 more minutes and I'm like, I'm going to go take a bath. So I went to the bathtub and sat there. And so much of my life up to this point unraveled. I had a private session with Gary Douglas, who's the founder of Access Consciousness, when I was still in Colombia. This is probably a year ago now. And it was a very short session. I purchased 30 minutes. We probably made it to 15. And I came in prepared with a lot of big questions. At the time, I really was asking about this energy, but I framed it in like, you know, I wanted to know more about coping and survival, and I could see myself doing that, and I was trying to unravel that. And the only thing he said to me was, well, the thing you got to get is, that's the moment you start to pay attention, would an infinite being choose to cope? Now, this thing about being an infinite being is a big conversation. And it's the reason I started Infinite Being School. You can go find that at infinitebeingschool.com. It's big. Because it's very easy to make infinite being into a concept, into something that is not actionable in your life. It's just this question you ask sometimes if somebody happens to remind you, or it's like this Access Consciousness concept thing. But it can be, and it is for Gary, a reality. Now, to live as an infinite being, you are living inclusive of everything, judging nothing, willing to choose, experiment, have, be, anything. There's no judgment in infinite being. It doesn't exist. Judgment's an invented reality. So I knew what he was asking me in that moment in that session, and I said no, but then I came back with like some more but, and he's like, but the thing you got to get is, would an infinite being? And I was, it was cracking something open for me, and I came back one more time like, but what you got to get is, would an infinite being? And I finally just let that sink in. That was so game changing for me. And it continued to gift yesterday. I'm sitting in the bath, I'm looking at this thing of like, I'm just trying to be good enough for you. And that was the question that I started asking myself. Now, the reason I think these conversations are so important and why I'm never going to let go of the Access Consciousness tools as the best mindset, self-development, personal development tools on the planet is because who the fuck else out there asks you what an infinite being would choose? And number one. Number two, who out there asks you, okay, so what, who out there introduces you to the conversation of presumptive reality and the need of reactive reality? So this was the second place that I went. So I'm sitting in the bathtub, and honestly, yesterday was one of the first times that I've asked myself a whole lot of questions for quite some time. I've been in this other space of like, I'm going forward. That's it. I'm going to be me. And I love that for me. But yesterday I was like, ooh, I'm going to return to the question. So infinite being thing. And then I was like, I had been in the need of a reactive reality all day. And the thing about being in a need to react is that underneath it is the bedrock that's creating the need. And that bedrock is all filled with presumptions, things that just feel like facts. So if I'm reacting, like I'm just trying to be good enough to you. First of all, can you feel the energy of that? I'm just trying to be good enough. There is so much reaction in that. So that's in and of itself a reactive reality. I'm trying to be good enough. I'm just trying to be good enough. And listen, I can see how I've done that with all my siblings, my mom, my dad, my son. You know, and if you've done it all the way back there, you've done it through your entire life. I've done it through my entire life. How much of what I've created as my business choices have been from I'm just trying to be good enough? So I started to look for the bedrock, the presumptive reality. And that's the part that I'm still just getting, it's like I'm getting glimpses of it, and why I'm going to do a call series on this. If you guys want to come join the call series I'm doing, there's a link in the description. It's called Enoughness. But one of the things I knew right away was for me to be trying to be good enough, number one, I have to believe that I'm not. And I've gotten to pieces of this. This is some of these things that we're functioning from that we don't even know we're functioning from that create the way we behave on a daily basis are so woven together with everything else in our life that, you know, you can't even tell the difference. So I've gotten to pieces of this. I remember a moment on a bathroom floor, all my great epiphanies happen in the bathroom, where I really looked at, I really believe that I'm not good enough. But this was a little bit different because I don't know. I could just see the presumption there that if I'm trying to be good enough, I believe that I'm not. And presumptive realities get created in those secret, young, unspoken moments where as little beings, we're just so sure that if everything was okay, that we're just so sure we're the center of the universe. And if you talk to any psychologist or you study the brain development at all, that's exactly what happens with children. As they get older, they start to feel more of a separation between them and other people. But for a really long time, and especially when we're just these little blobs of fluff just coming out, we believe we're the center of the universe. So if other people, i.e. my mom, my dad, if those other people can't receive me, if they can't be themselves, receive themselves, perceive or know, which how many parents actually do that, then if they can't be that for themselves, they're not going to be able to be it for me. So here I am, this little blob of fluff coming in, super aware, going, I'm the center of the universe and you can't receive, be, know, or perceive There must be something wrong with me. I'm not enough. Instantaneously. Not only that, I'm psychic. So how much was I picking up on my 21-year-old mom's point of view about parenting, about having a baby, about living, about, you know, she went from her parents' house to university to having a baby and being married. I mean, I'm imagining she didn't feel like enough, you know? So I'm swimming in the soup of I'm not enough. And if I was, none of this would be happening, which is absolute and total bollocks. But there it is. So these unconscious presumptive realities running our life. So here I am, almost 50 years old, still saddled with the same trigger, which isn't actually a trigger. It's my need of a reactive reality to a presumptive reality that I'm trying desperately to make, to prove that it's not true. That's the thing. When you presume that you're not good enough, then you have to prove that you're good enough. But the thing about trying to prove that you're good enough is that you never can, because you already are, and you're not acknowledging it, and you're just fighting against what was a lie in the first place. This is so big. This is so big. So this is one of the processes that I started running yesterday for myself. I just made it up. And it's this: what refusal of infinite being am I using to create the need of being good enough am I choosing? And everything that is times a godzillion, will you destroy and uncreate it all? Right, wrong, good, bad, podpoc, online, shorts, boys, povids, and beyonds. So when you're looking at changing things, especially when it comes to access consciousness stuff, the primary tool to change anything is presence and awareness and choice. That's it. If you can get aware that you're doing something, you are like 90% of the way there. Access consciousness adds this other layer of stuff, which is these processes. And the processes, what those do is they shave off where you're being unconscious about your unconsciousness. Right? Consciousness includes everything, but a lot of us have developed all of these mechanisms, all of this process that I've just described to you, unconsciously when we were little, and we're just living from them, and we can't seem to change them. And so what the processes do is they start to give us more access to being able to change them. All, you know what creates change? A different choice. So I started running this process, and then I started asking some new questions, because I realized that I've been doing this for so long that I literally don't know what's beyond it, because I've never gone beyond it. It has become the borders by which I live. So if what I'm doing can't prove that I'm good enough, or I can't get validation that I'm good enough, I stop doing it. Or if I start getting a different response, or people are, you know, responding differently, I stop doing that thing, because I was doing it for the response. And if the response is gone, then what's the point of being alive? Whoa. I mean, I'm going to be really vulnerable here and go, I've been killing my business over this. Because I just went through 2 years where I was not myself, and I couldn't seem to get to myself. And I did a lot of great work over those 2 years. So I'm not throwing it all in the bathwater, but I can't tell you how much inside of me that I was struggling to be me. That's kind of a oxymoron. I realize that. I'm not trying to make this more dramatic, but I am telling you, like, you know, what happened was that because I was struggling so much, like, I was being different, and so everything changed, right? All the social media stuff changed. I changed. Everything changed. Because I've been doing this for the validation, which I haven't wanted to admit, because it changed. I've been like, well, what's the point? I'll just do something else. Fuck it. But not fuck it from like I'm going to go choose something that's greater, but like, fuck it from this. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to hang out with those people anymore. I'm not going to do these things anymore. I'm not getting the same response. I'm not clearly I'm not good enough. I'll go somewhere else where I am. Where's the question in that? Where's the vulnerability in that? You guys. I know that changing this, uncovering it, and choosing beyond it is going to transform me. It's going to transform my life and everything that comes out of me. And the reason I tell you all this is in the hopes that it contributes to maybe something that you could look at if you want. I don't know. I don't know how much courage this takes. I don't really know how much allowance this takes. Maybe this is just so far into tender territory that nobody wants to look at it. But if you do, you're invited to a call series. We're going to look at it. As an infinite being, you're not just enough. You are everything. I am everything. You know, this thing of if your judgment is that you're never going to be enough, which definitely, yes, me, then no matter what you do, you will never see the greatness of you. And it won't matter how great what you're doing is, because you won't see it. It's like having somebody in front of you that no matter how much they tell you that you're beautiful, you don't believe it. It won't matter what's happening on the outside of you, because you will shut it down because you don't believe that shit. It can't be true, and stop fucking lying to me. And I know that all of us refuse and reject to different degrees. I have been a very aggressive refuser and rejecter. But if you go right underneath that, there has been just this ache of what I've believed is true, which isn't true. It's not true. So, how many lies have you been using to believe that you're not enough? Have you been choosing? And everything that is times a godzillion, will you destroy and uncreate it all? Right, wrong, good, bad, podpoc, all nine shorts, boys, povids, and beyonds. How many judgments are you using to believe that you're not good enough? Are you choosing? And everything that is times a godzillion, will you destroy and uncreate it all? Right, wrong, good, bad, podpoc, all nine shorts, boys, povids, and beyonds. If we really open up this conversation of enoughness, this is big, because we're living, so many of us are living in this scarce reality where we are not enough. There's not enough money. There's not enough abundance. There's just not enough. And so we keep creating not enough, and keep creating ourselves is not enough. When you have the point of view that you are not enough, you have to keep creating yourself is not enough. You have to create the proof of your point of view. That's how powerful points of view are. So if we don't go and look at it and get present with what we're doing, or what we suspect we're doing, if we don't start looking at the symptoms of this, and let me tell you some of the symptoms. This maybe should have been at the beginning. Some of the symptoms are getting angry at things, rejecting compliments, not acknowledging yourself, constantly berating yourself for not doing things well or good or right. Those are some of the more extreme, I guess, negative symptoms. I guess some of the others are like perfectionism. You would need to be perfect. Perfect for what reason? Needing to get it right all the time. When you get into argument, you get into arguments with people. That's another symptom. You get into arguments, and when you get into arguments, you have to be right. You are constantly insecure about your body, about the way you look, about, you know, deep insecurity is a symptom. Fear is a symptom. So that this belief has a lot of symptoms, and none of them are pretty. And you have to then live your life proving. You have to prove all the time. I don't well, I'm not going to live the rest of my life like that. Fuck it. No. So if you want to come with me and experience some big change, please do. The link is in the description. We're going to go over 3 calls. We're going to explore this access consciousness style. We're going to run clearings. You're going to have clearing loops. We are going to have conversations. We're going to deep dive into your questions. I know no better set of tools to change something like this than access consciousness. And then after the series, you're going to have more of you. How does it get better than that?